All right, if you got your Bibles with you, would you turn to the book of Ezekiel? The book of Ezekiel, and we're going to be in chapter 2 tonight, Ezekiel chapter 2. When my dad was telling me that I would be preaching tonight, he told me that he wanted a real preacher to preach tonight. So that's why he had Jason Cohan preach before me, I guess. No, I'm just kidding. He didn't say that, but it's a pleasure to preach here, and I sure don't want to go back to college. I love being here, and, you know, there's no other place that quite feels like home than here. So I love it here, and I'm going to miss you all when I go back to college, but thankfully I only have 1 year left. So praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
But we're going to be in Ezekiel chapter 2. I'm going to start reading in verse number 1. Ezekiel chapter 2, number 1. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation, that sounds familiar, that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day, for they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. The briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity to preach. Lord, I pray that you'd use this sermon, not because of me, but because of who you are. I pray you'd use it to be a blessing to someone tonight. I pray all these things in your name. Amen. So in those verses, we see that Ezekiel's commissioned by the Lord to be a prophet to the children of Israel. When we read this chapter, we see that by this time, the children of Israel were in captivity in Babylon. They had disobeyed the Lord in the past. They had not followed the Lord's law. And so they had been sent into Babylon as captives. So we see that Ezekiel is commissioned to be a prophet. What is a prophet? I believe that that verse number 4 gives us the definition by saying that the prophet is one who says, Thus saith the Lord God. I believe that's the definition of a prophet. And I believe that all of us here, in a sense, we've all been commissioned to be a prophet.
Right.
We have the Word of God. Most importantly, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us.
Yep.
And it's our job to say to the world, Thus saith the Lord God.
Right.
That's our job. I believe that all of us as well are commissioned to be prophets. So God called Ezekiel to minister to the children of Israel while they're in captivity for disobeying the Lord. And I think it's interesting that the Lord specifically calls them a rebellious house several times,
yeah,
emphasizing how wicked they really were. God told Ezekiel to prophesy whether or not they would hear his message.
Yeah.
I think it's important that for us, that we not be afraid to share the gospel, not be afraid of what others will think of us. He needed to trust God with the outcome and not worry about what would happen. It was all in the Lord's hands, but he had a responsibility to preach whether or not they would listen. So I believe God's called us to be prophets as well. If you think about, some might say, well, God hasn't commissioned us to be prophets because we're not in the Old Testament times. But God gave us the Great Commission, right?
Yeah.
He gave us the Great Commission to teach the gospel to every creature.
Yeah.
And so we are prophets. We're all entrusted with that calling. Move over to the next chapter, Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3. I also think it interesting that God calls Ezekiel son of man. He calls him son of man 93 times in the entire book. And I think he uses that to emphasize the fact, emphasize Ezekiel's humanity. So when he looks in the mirror and sees his own humanity, he sees the greatness of God. And that's the only way that we can fill the Great Commission with the glory, with the greatness of God. Ezekiel chapter 3, we're going to begin in verse 16. "And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wicked way, turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul." So in those verses, we see that Ezekiel was commissioned of God to be a watchman unto the house of Israel. And we all know what a watchman is. We think of a castle, and we think of someone in the tower overlooking the outside of the castle, make sure that there's no enemies trying to get their way, make their way into the castle and try to attack those inside. And so the lives of the citizens rest in the hands of the watchman. All the lives of everyone inside the city was in the hands of that watchman. They had entrusted their lives to him, and it was his job to warn them of incoming danger. And if he didn't do his job, if he failed for a second, if he was on the tower and fell asleep, and the castle was attacked, all the lives of those inside the castle would be on his hands. It would have been his fault, because they entrusted their lives to him. If the watchman warned the people of the castle of the danger, but they ignored the signal, their blood was on their own hands. Maybe that watchman warned the people, he blew the signal that danger was upon them, and they just ignored the signal. Then it was off the watchman. It wasn't his fault, right? But if the watchman didn't blow the signal, he was the one to blame. And so just like God has given us the job of being a prophet, he's also given us the job of being a watchman. Yes. And I believe he's given us the job of being a watchman in several places. Specifically, I think the watchman of your family. Yes. If you're a Christian in your family and you have unsafe family members, it's your job to reach them. Yes. You're the watchman of your neighborhood. You're the watchman of your work. You're the watchman of your college. You're the watchman of Madison, of Wisconsin, of the U.S., and of the world. With missionaries, we try to support missionaries to reach the entire world. We've been commissioned with a job to do. We have an incredibly important task, yet too many of us have forgotten that we have such an important job to do. Many of us are on that castle tower, and we're folding our hands. Maybe we've fallen asleep, and maybe we've been up there for so long that we think to ourselves, the danger's never going to come. It's not that big of a deal. And so we've fallen asleep on our job. We have to realize that it's everyone's job, not just the pastor, not just the missionaries, not just the deacons, not just the heads of the outreach are called to be soul winners. I think as Christians, we have a tendency to put ourselves into a little box of our comfort zone, and we say, this is my box, and this is what I do on Sundays. Maybe someone will say, oh, I only do the music, or I only read my Bible, I only pray, but I don't do anything else. This is just my little box and my comfort zone. But God has given us the responsibility to do all of those things. Just because maybe we don't think that we have a certain gift in a certain area doesn't mean that we don't have to do those things. Just because we maybe don't feel that we can pray that well doesn't mean we shouldn't pray. So we have to be able, we have to fulfill our job. And a lot of people will think that, I'm just not a gifted soul winner. It's not my gift, so I'll pass it off to the person whose gift it is. You know, there are plenty of Christians, plenty of people in the church who are good at soul winning, so I'll let them do it. It's our job to be able to do it because we have people that only we can reach.
That's right.
I don't work at your workplace. You don't work at my workplace. God's given you a responsibility to those people.
Yeah.
And so it's your job to reach them. And just like anything, maybe you're not a gifted soul winner. Soul winning takes practice. We have to work at it. But it's not in something we can do with the flesh. It's got to be something that the Holy Spirit will help us do. If we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, He will help us do it. And think about the fact that we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, right? And the Holy Spirit's job is that all men would be saved. And yet we don't see very many people saved so often. And it means that we're not yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit. I led my first soul to Christ when I was 18. And that's one of the biggest regrets I have, is that I waited 18 years before I really tried to get somebody saved. Before I yielded myself to the Lord to let someone be saved. I think we need to be more mindful of that. And I preach this sermon not because I'm a good example of that. I'm very convicted by it, and I wish I could do better. But I trust that the Lord will help us with that.